I'll Love be on the Talk phone. Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life-style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
I wanted to greet everybody who wants to come up and join us at the table. This is Robin Misevich, one of the diners here at the Transformation Cafe. Also, real quick, want to remind everybody, if you'd like to go ahead and do some active blog, we've got our connection at show, transformationcafe.com, and that will give you an opportunity to go ahead and be doing that. Or you can also go through the Blog Talk Radio, and there's an active link there that you can go ahead while we're live, and it'll give you a chance to be able to talk to that. And you can go ahead and talk to the magnificent Miss Kathy. She's helping us out with a switchboard tonight. Kathy, can you introduce yourself, please?
Oh, well, hi. I'm Kathy Elliott, and I have brought an armful of gifts of happiness, joy, and laughter. I hope you can all use them.
Well, wow, I know I can.
That's what I do.
I'm gonna give myself my cold a little joy, and it's just going to be just bouncing out of here. How about that? That's good. And Mr. Jamie is here. So, hey, Mr. Jamie, will you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school, and I'm a tattoo artist. I've been tattooing up in Seattle. Have a shop here. It's called Chromome for the last almost 14 years. And I'd like to think I help people and with their psychic armor.
There we go. There we go. I know, I was thinking about that psychic armor. It's almost like for the new one thing we're going to talk about tonight, I was going to just kind of put out there for all of us to be chatting about, is conscious capitalism. And it's actually a really good interview. If you guys aren't familiar, Sounds True has a weekly download that they have called Insights at the Edge. And one of the things that they do is Tammy Simon is the owner and also the main interviewer, and she's usually the voice behind Sounds True with all the introductions. And Tammy is just a wonderful interviewer. I always love to hear her conversations with the authors and teachers that she has as a part of the Sounds True family. And this week's download was with Patricia Auburn, A-B-U-R-D-E-N, Auburn. And she's actually been an author for over 20 years with the Megatrends. And if you're familiar with business, she's been doing Megatrends, I think, since the middle 1980s, just what's happening on different levels with trends and things like that. And with the conscious capitalism, it's really coming from a place of looking at your business from a very spiritual perspective. And number one thing would be service. And you recognize that the people around you are your biggest resource, whether it be your customer, whether it be your fellow employee, manager, or if you have people who are basically investors in your businesses. It's all about those people and how everyone contributes to the whole of having your business be successful, how your business really can interact with the world in a very healthy and productive way. And one thing that Patricia was sharing with Tammy was that we're coming to a place that's actually not even a trend now, it's actually starting to happen, where businesses are really coming to a place where we recognize that it is the win-win, and it is making that significant, simple changes that we can have happening that make the difference with our businesses. It's, you know, committing to a place of just honoring everyone who's involved, and then knowing that we want to be making money, but we also want to be knowing that we make a difference with everyone. So just like Jamie was saying, you know, I really feel like I contribute to helping people to express their creativity in a way that it's expressing themselves, you know, using their bodies as a place of expressing that. So, Jamie, have you ever seen anybody that has, well, I'm sure you've seen it multiple times, but this may be one story of the way that people, maybe one person in particular, that their tattoo was just so much more of something that really just changed their life. And you could almost see it just changing as you were able to put the image on their body.
Well, I haven't really thought of it that way. I don't know about changing their lives. They make a conscious decision, and they decide that that's the moment they should have this little procedure done. And, you know, sometimes I don't know them. Sometimes I know them from repeatedly either tattooing them or being friends. And it's a strange business, but you could see where it makes them happy, and that's kind of what makes me happy. So that's why. And then you have to, you know, dealing with a canvas that's a living canvas and somebody with emotions, and you're going through a little bit of a pain and or sensation. Let's not say pain. And I'll leave and describe it to you what I feel. And
everybody that I drew
like,
it hurts. It hurts. Okay, it hurts.
Being, well, sure. If define, I mean, what, you know, there's a lot of things
yeah,
that hurt more than tattoo,
yeah.
But yeah, that's
yeah.
It's all relative.
Well, you know, and they say no pain, no gain. So there you go. I don't know.
Well, true,
that.
True. But
yeah.
You know, getting back to that, it seems like. If they can realize this vision, you know, in the flesh, and then if it helps them, I guess that that could be something good.
Okay. Well, you know, I just think that would be something else that we could maybe not this show, but definitely talk about maybe off the air, and then we could delve into that one. Because I think this conscious capitalism is definitely something that would be a wonderful thing to explore a little bit more. Maybe each one of us could look at that and see how we're seeing that, or we can move into that level of just awareness of the interactions we have with people and how it does influence everything in our lives, being what it is. I know being a florist, I've seen that over and over again of creating something that really did change people's lives. Just for the fact that it was a statement of beauty that was the interchange, whether it was something that somebody was in trouble. I call it the guy was in the doghouse, you know. Guy's in the doghouse. He takes flowers home, and then everything's better, you know. So we definitely have things like that going on. And then, you know, weddings and just helping people with transitions of being able to shift and things like that. So my business has never been about, you know, let me just sell a bunch of flowers and make money. It's the interactions I've had with people to make things better for their lives.
But, and you know, if you're any good at anything, you'll be successful and people will seek you out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think about that, Kath?
Whenever I've never worked for money either, but it just comes at me. But I did notice when I've hired many, many people, and the ones that were I've hired programmers, and the ones that were there for the money were never very good programmers.
Oh, wow.
Because that was their passion, they were working at their passion, those were the excellent programmers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that makes perfect sense, too. They're loving what they do. Yeah, they're loving what they do. Yeah.
Plus, you know, with a service-based, you know, whatever you do, your occupation, perhaps it is in a service. You know, if you don't do very good service, people won't, you know, recommend you or come back. And that's especially true in what I do. It's dealing with people on a one-on-one type thing. And believe it or not, they do remember sometimes who did that. And other times they don't, you know. you definitely make an indelible mark on somebody that lasts as long as they are. So, and there is proof that this event happened, and you know that's in the moment and now. And
definitely.
Or you're just a scab vendor.
If I got a tattoo, I definitely would remember who did it to me. Okay, you know,
yeah.
And. I know my daughter.
Well, you know, sometimes the clientele they. Maybe we're drinking a little bit, and maybe the guy doing it was drinking, and they were young, and who knows? Who knows the circumstances?
I've heard that isn't it regular practice, though, when somebody's drinking, they can't allow them to get the tattoo anyway because of the alcohol?
Well, again, that depends on the individual.
The tattooer,
and,
yeah.
who's
okay.
getting
okay.
tattooed, and
you didn't hear that from me.
They're used
okay.
to drinking when they get tattooed. Generally, no, but
generally, no. Yeah,
you never know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did the
okay.
tattoos get bigger with drinking?
That's a hard question. I don't know if I can answer that. I generally
well,
don't
like,
drink when I do tattoos, so. I know I've seen people that have a tattoo that's not quite up to snuff there that they kind of wondered why they got it when they got it, and they don't remember it. Or maybe they remember getting it, but they don't remember what it looked like, and this is what he got. So who knows?
Wow. Can you imagine that? You wake up from, like, a really good party night, and you got this tattoo, and you didn't, you know. Wow. Yeah, that would be an interesting experience. Okay. And it's not like, oh, I'm going to go take a shower. Okay, I'm going to wash that off, you know. It's there forever. Anyway, you know.
Well, you know, they even have these little pieces of, like, hose you can slip over your arms that have tattoo designs, so it looks like you're tattooed. So,
you know, I know that. Yeah, and Harley Davidson, I'm not sure if they still have them, but I know a couple of years ago around Halloween they had these really cool, it was this real sheer material that they had printed that made it look like you had tattoos. It was like
right.
a shirt that you could wear, and it was like, you know, you look like you had them coming up your arm and everything. So I was going to do that. I was going to be the biker chick and, like, have my tattoos, and there you go. Okay. The Harley Davidson tattoos, you know, because I'm the biker chick. So anyway, it's just an idea. Okay, so we have a wonderful Mother Earth update. So I was going to check with Jamie to see if he had anything before I just kind of go with this little article that Marvine probably won't be with us tonight. She's having technical difficulties, which means, you know, something's gone off their cell phone or something like that. So we hope she can make it. But if not, you know, we might save her some dessert and put it in a doggy bag for her. But we'll see what happens with that. So,
you never
have any updates?
Do a appetizer or a.
We're just diving in. Like, well, they're waiting for the waiter to show up. So, you know, I don't know why, but I guess I think they're a little backed up in the kitchen or something. So they're trying to get stuff. So, what do you guys think? What do you want to do for an appetizer? So I'm thinking maybe some nachos or something. What do you think? That sounds good.
I'll have some coconut shrimp, please.
Oh, coconut shrimp. Oh, my gosh. He's going off the board for coconut shrimp. Okay, what do you think, Miss Cass?
I don't know. Those cream cheese wontons look good to me.
Oh, we're just going to have the smorgasbord. Okay, it's almost like, okay, let's have the buffet. A little nachos, a little coconut shrimp, and we're going for those cream cheese wontons. You know, I always love the cream cheese wontons when they have that sweet and sour like chili sauce that goes with it.
That
well,
sounds
make
good.
Make sure that you save some appetizers for me. I'll be back at the table in just a few minutes.
Okay. Okay.
I told you where I went, right?
I told you about
my service. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right.
I
so, Mr. Jamie and I will talk about the cleanup, and we'll talk to you in a couple minutes. So,
well,
she just can't say she's having a biological break. Okay, go ahead. We did
no.
about a biological break, and we'll take you on the other side.
I'm at the mall.
Oh, she's at the mall. Oh, okay.
Yes,
how can you be eating with us and you're at the mall? Oh, you're telling us what
That's
you want
son.
For your appetizer when you get there. Oh, okay.
My son lost my car key and he had my car.
Oh, okay.
So
wow.
I just delivered his Jeep and his my car key.
Wow,
okay.
Look at her. That's
I'm
not
the
mom,
phone,
you know. The multitasking mom.
Right.
Okay, cool. Okay, so did you have any Earth updates? We've had some stuff happen. I mean, there's been some things this week.
I know in regards to the well in the Gulf, they were going to start doing that procedure, static kill. And they think that it would be a better circumstance now because the buildup isn't as much, and there's the hydrocarbons, something having to do with the pressure as well. But they're being real quiet about it, and I think if you have, well, I noticed that you hardly see anything about the Gulf anymore on the news, so I guess they think it's all cut and dry. But they're going to try to kill the well, and they haven't said anything about that. I know as well... it's been very hot in the U.S. and everywhere. especially in Russia. There's a lot of fires going on in Southern California, I imagine, up here in Washington. There's been lots of rain in Pakistan. I think they had giant floods there. It's killing lots of people. People have been killed in just the floods there. That's not unusual for this time of the year, but something in Pakistan, I guess.
Right.
And other than that, I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
That's all
well,
I've heard.
Gosh, that's kind of a lot right there. yeah, with the flooding and then with the high temperatures, and we could definitely see that the axis being tilted, you know, we've had our axis of the planet tilted a little bit, and it's really been affecting everything, you know. A few degrees really can just really change the world. And so
it was kind of it was kind of strange. The other day we were out walking, and there had been some fires quite a ways away. But we were looking, and there was a haze to the sun. It was like almost orange. It was kind of, it was really strange. It doesn't happen very often around here, of course. But
did it feel eerie?
Yeah, it sure did.
Yeah, kind of an eerie feeling.
There was an orange tint to the sun, and then I guess when the sun went down, it was blood red.
Wow.
It's all these
yeah,
particulates in the atmosphere, right?
Right, right. So imagine ancient man seeing something like that.
Right.
And how terrifying that would be. Oh, it's not that dirty blood red. Yeah, I'm sure that would mean some big stuff. Well, and then if you look on an astrological level, actually I've gotten a couple updates and stuff. We'll probably talk about it next week because I'm not fully up on the reading on it, but there's all these astrological things that are going to be happening between now and the end of August. So we'll definitely tune in next week for that, and we'll give you guys an update on that so we can let you know about that. Actually, while I'm talking tonight, I'll try to see if I can get you an address for that if anybody wants to go to that website and check it out. But, there, yeah, if you look on a planetary level, it's very interesting, a lot of the alignments and things like that that are going to be happening or have happened. So if people have been feeling off, if people have been feeling, you know, actually tired, have you been feeling tired, Jamie? Like you just need to. Sometimes I just get done. I gotta like lay down and rest for a little while because it just feels like
just
a heavy day, you know.
Not any more than usual, but just I think just the day by day, you know, it kind of wears you down a little bit sometimes, and you gotta.
Well, and I think
pick them up
yeah.
and put them down. That's what I say. You know, that's all.
Right. Well, and sometimes too, when you know you're out for a walk and you're seeing something you normally don't see, and you know a blood red sunset can be kind of unnerving if it's something you're
right.
not used to seeing or what's going on in that. And even if you can logically talk to yourself and your mind about it, that doesn't mean that your senses aren't feeling a little more hyper. You know, your fight-flight could be activated mm-hmm. a level that you're more, you know, sensitive to all that stuff kind of happening. And it can make you feel off, you know. So it's a good thing we're going to be talking about bananas tonight because I just got all this really wonderful information about the benefits of bananas. And one of them is just really helping your nervous system to just be a happy camper. So, but we digress and we get back to talking about the golf here a little bit. As I said, Marvin had given me an article, and this is actually from Ode Magazine, ODEmagazine.com. And Marvin was really singing their praises because it's more of just a middle road perspective on different things that are happening. And this was a really cool article. It said, "The Gulf Oil Spill, How Mother Nature Cleans Up Our Messes." And it's not very long, but it was really cool about talking about how scientists are reporting that the oil spill in the Gulf appears to be disappearing far more rapidly than anyone had expected. I mean, even the scientists are just like, wow, this is a very interesting thing. Well, you know, we've never had anything at this magnitude that we've been watching on such a national, global level. So I'm sure it's something that they're really interesting having. The BBC was quoted as saying that they're saying that much of the oil has been biodegraded by the nature, by just the occurring bacteria. And we've been talking on two or three shows about Valdez, and actually it talks about this with the Exxon Valdez disaster in 1989. That there was 40,000 tons of crude oil that were released into that area. And they're saying that if divers go back now, there's only remnants of oil that they find when they actually turn stones over in the ocean. There's no other way for them, even if they dig into the soil or anything like that, they're not finding any kind of traces of the oil. but they're saying that actually it was slower in the way that the different organisms, the biodegradable process could happen because it was colder. So they're saying that the Gulf, the fact that we've got warm water, we've got the hurricane situations that are just kind of stirring it up and helping to disperse this oil so all the bacteria can really get in there and do stuff, that it's really helping things to dissolve and absorb the oil that much faster. Another example they gave in the article was an oil refinery in Rotterdam in the Netherlands, that it had a problem where there had been an oil trench refinery area, and they said if they left that alone for about a decade, then Mother Nature would go through there and clean it to the point that they never would have seen any kind of a spill. So it's very interesting how Mother Nature really goes in and just cleans up our messes for her. That good old mom. She's so great, you know. Mom is awesome. She just like goes, there they go again, making another mess. Here we go. So we want to, thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mother Earth, for taking care of us so well, you know. And she just does it so beautifully and lovingly that, you know, I always love seeing asphalt where there's grass growing up in the asphalt. To me, that's just the showing of Mother Nature reminding us that, you know, who's in charge. That's very cool. There you go. Yeah, so I thought that was a great article, and I thank Marvin for forwarding that to me. And actually, Marvin and I talked about it a little bit. So it was very, very cool to another level of confirmation of that things are doing really well. And I had sent part of, we sent a menu out to all of our diners, especially our regular guys, and talked about, you know, having soul glasses instead of regular glasses, and, you know, to be looking at everything from a soul perspective. And over and over again, we've been so many people that have been looking at that from a level of what are we gaining, what are the blessings from that, be it, you know, politics and, you know, different countries looking to come to aid for supporting people and scientists and everybody getting together to say, how do we solve this, and recognize on a level that, you know, oil and things like that are not our way of moving forward in keeping the Earth a very, you know, smart and energy-efficient planet. And mainly making us accountable to the way we've been, you know, little brats, and Mother Nature just says, well, you know, kids, maybe we don't want to do that anymore. You know, she's tired of cleaning up our spills, I'm sure. So there you go. But we love her, and we're thankful for that. So, Nicole, will you guys have any thoughts about that, with that article?
No, you expressed it pretty well.
Well, thank you. Even with my cold, and I was kidding with Cassie before we got on the air that I could identify myself as somebody else, and they probably would never know because my voice sounds so different tonight.
You need to make yourself some tea, like you said.
Oh, well, I'm making tea, and I got a little bit of honey. As we speak, it's sitting right next to me here, so just in case I have a cough attack or something like that. But you know, when you have that cold, you can get that low, sexy voice. I can get my low, sexy voice. So there you go. You get that cough thing happening. I know, huh? So there was another thing that I came across. I have two or three really wonderful people that are always sending me a kind of little things that are just a little bit on the different side. And one of them was this benefit about bananas. And it talks about just all the different chemical reactions. It's almost like apples, too. A lot of people don't – I read an article once, too, about apples, that if you eat an apple a day, especially in the morning, it's actually better for you in balancing your energy instead of a cup of coffee.
Ooh.
It actually wakes you up, and it gets you into this good state where your sugar levels are all balanced, and there's all these chemical reactions that actually happen when you actually eat the apple. You know, it's not like applesauce or anything like that.
Oh, but it's not the same.
No, well, okay, you think that. I feel like you, okay, but here's the invitation to try something different. So take like a whole week and eat an apple every day before you have the coffee, and then wait a half an hour and say, do I still want my coffee? If you do, okay, but, you know, that would be interesting to see if you said, well, no, I think I'm okay. And just a different level of your brain activated and things like that, like I said, with all the different chemicals that are released through just the process of eating an apple. It's pretty amazing. So bananas, they're saying that,
I'm having an apple in my salad every day.
Good. You know, and down here in Southern California, I'm sure it's probably true for a lot of other drive-thrus. I mean, they're being more conscious about what they are providing for different stuff. And like there's Carl's Jr. This over here in Southern California. They have like three or four different salads that they offer every day, and they have apples and walnuts and stuff in one of the salads nowadays that we have available. So that's pretty cool.
Wait a minute.
But,
Jamie lives in Apple Country.
He does live in Apple
you're
Country.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Right.
So do you guys have, like, Apple festivals? I'm sure you do.
I've heard about everyone except an Apple festival. I think it's just different.
You're in Apple Country, and there's no Apple
festival. There's probably some sort of Apple festival somewhere.
I'll bet it's on the eastern side.
On the eastern side of Seattle or Washington.
Yeah,
Washington, right. Washington apples. Hello.
Right.
It is. It's been me, and it is the Apple State. Well, I remember one time I had gone for a visit in Washington, in Seattle, and they were showing these huge, like, cold storage facilities that they had right off the when all the freights come through there, where they store these apples for up to like 8 months at a time.
Ooh.
You know,
wow.
Cold storage.
Wow.
Yeah, they do cold storage for all these apples. Yeah, so that's one reason why it's always, I guess, the way to tell a fresh apple is you want to look at the core of it and, like, on the bottom of that apple at the bottom where it came off the tree, and see if it's green.
Because
if it's not green, it's been in cold storage. Huh?
Let me ask the waiter here. Hold on.
Okay, ask the waiter.
Oh, it's the Apple Festival's in Wenatchee.
There you go. Well, that's on the eastern... south and eastern part of the state, I believe.
Yeah.
And when is it?
I'm
thinking the fall.
Hey, waiter. Come back, waiter.
I told you they're busy tonight. The kitchen is just busy. That's why it's taking so long to get all of our stuff. I know.
It's in fall.
Hey, you want me to sound my beard like that?
It's just fall, yeah, I know, but okay. Fall is what? Is it the, you know, like the fall equinox, or we're talking like school start and we're having apples?
I'd imagine it would be like the height of the season.
Yeah, I'm thinking school starts, we're having apples. You know?
And you have to have them for Halloween to bob them.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, no kidding. Well, yeah, they're all healthy, and that's the thing. When you're bobbing for apples, you don't really eat them. You know, you're not getting all those benefits. You're not chewing it and getting all that. I'm getting all those great little, you know, as in. It's not the same. I've never seen too many people go, oh, I'm going to eat my apple instead of a box of candy. That doesn't happen, okay? It's like that. Yeah, it's like those Hidden Valley commercials where you see all the kids eating their vegetables, dipping it in the Hidden Valley dressing. Like, I don't know. I don't know about so much with the dressing. Although, I know I've seen some people that, you know, that's the only way they will eat their vegetables. There you go. Anyway, we really got into an apple conversation here instead of talking about bananas, but that's okay. That's okay.
That's right.
So, yeah, I know. It says that bananas contain three sugars, the sucrose, the fructose, and the glucose. And also with the fiber, and it automatically will give you an instant sustained and a substantial boost of energy. So, you know, instead of drinking that, you know, Rockstar, you can eat a banana. There you go, you know. Although some people are going to say they want the caffeine and all that other stuff too, I'm sure. So, but they're also saying that energy isn't just the only way that bananas can help us keep fit. It also helps to overcome and prevent substantial numbers of illnesses, conditions that make it something that you actually want to, you know, a couple bananas a day will just keep all these things away. So there you go. Depression.
A couple bananas, a couple of apples. Well,
yeah,
a couple,
you know,
of oranges,
and you're supposed to eat five pieces of fruit a day. That's what they say. It's five servings, and servings is like a, you know, an open handful. It's like a serving. It's like a cup of fruit is like a serving. So,
how about Cherry Coke?
No, Cherry Coke. No, that's no.
No,
that's all. That's
syrup,
no.
Oh, I
cherry
know.
Coke.
And then you switch to because
it's just cherry, and it does, you know, that's artificial flavored cherry.
Well, how about
no.
Sangrias with maraschino cherry?
Yeah. Oh, okay, now you got me talking about sangrias, okay. That's like something I love, so, you know, we could put some fruit in that and act like, yeah, it's at least one of my, you know, my portions for the day. Yeah,
hey,
I'm
you know what?
I think
Bruce has joined us.
Did he? Hey,
Bruce,
Mr. Bruce.
Bruce, indeed.
Hey,
Bruce,
sir. Bruce, Brewster is in the house. How's it going, Bruce?
I'm good. Decluttering. August is a kind of a dark month in my field because everyone's on vacation, so I'm decluttering.
Well, good for you. You're just making all these new spaces for good stuff to come in.
Well, yes, I want to organize my articles and my courses better, and then I have a lot of bookings for the fall, so that's how it works.
That's exciting. Well, we were talking about the benefits of bananas.
Yeah.
There you go. All these wonderful things that happen with bananas. So Bruce is wonderfully, generously joined us. He's actually going to be talking tonight about homeostasis, which is going to be working with the balance of wellness. So this is a perfect segue. We're going to get the little benefits of bananas, and then Bruce can tell us about the bananas and then move it into a perfect balance of wellness. So that's pretty cool. So depression, like I said, we were just all over the place tonight, Bruce. I got to warn you, we were going to talk about bananas, and so far we've gone into apples and sangria. So I don't know. It's just been kind of a while. And Cherry Coke.
Well,
and Cherry Coke. Kathy had to make it a Cherry Coke conversation, too.
Joyful.
So
who cares?
There you go. I know. If it's food, I'm happy. So I'm good about that. So, bananas are good for depression. And it said, according to a recent survey under Mind, by Mind, M-I-N-D, that was in all caps. So it says, among people suffering from depression, many felt much better after eating a banana. This is because bananas contain tryptophan, which is a type of protein that the body converts into serotonin, which is known to relax and improve your mood and generally make you feel happier. So it's kind of like, remember when, Legally Blonde, right? But she said, happy people don't kill people because they have serotonin. So there you go. Like happy people make you feel better. So bananas will definitely help you with depression. It also has the PMS. It says forget the pills for PMS and just go and eat a banana. And that's very true. I've heard that too, and I've also heard it really helps you with menopause. Same thing, if you eat bananas every day, it helps to regulate your blood levels, and it helps with the hormonal levels of keeping yourself balanced. Anemia, it helps. It has a very high level of iron and stimulates the production of hemoglobin in the blood and also helps, too, in cases of anemia. So that's pretty cool. Blood pressure, it's a typical fruit that is extremely high in potassium and very low in salt, so it's perfect for helping to beat blood pressures. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration also allows the banana industry to make official claims that the fruit has fruit's ability to reduce the risk of blood pressure and strokes. And in brain power, 20 students at Twickenham, which is over in England, were helped by their exams for a whole year. They were studying them taking tests while they ate a banana. They had a banana, and then they took a test. And they were kind of, some tests had banana before the test, and some didn't, and they were checking to see the different levels of how the potassium really helped to pick up their assistance in helping them to learn and being able to have the brain power of remembering the information in a different level. And, since we've been talking about sangria, it also helps with hangovers. So, Miss Kathy, there you go. You got your little sangria, and then you can have your hangover. You got your banana, and you want to have it. It's a quick way to cure a hangover. You make a milkshake and with a little bit of honey, and it also will calm your stomach. So there you go. So all kinds of wonderful things. Bananas are just a really great thing that have all kinds of wonderful things that they do for you. So, and one of the little side things I thought was interesting is that if you have warts, any kind of skin conditions, the peel of a banana, and that's like the, regular peel, you take a little bit of that and put it where the banana's been, put that down on a wart or something like that with a Band-Aid on top of it, it'll actually help those to go away.
Oh, you know what? That inspires me. I'm in the mood for a banana split.
Okay, that sounds good.
Hey, when
you
see the waiter, come over, Jamie. Will you grab him?
Jamie's going to grab him. Jamie's going to grab the waiter here. So that's good. Okay. So that was just some interesting stuff about bananas. Was that stuff you guys already knew? You're really quiet, like you didn't know. Like you were like, yeah, we know, Robin, whatever.
I like them when they're a little riper.
When they're a little riper? I know.
Yeah.
I know people that like them when they're green. That's just like weird to have them green. I'm like, yeah.
I don't like them too green, but I can eat them until they were falling apart almost.
Yeah. And when they're like that, a good thing to do with that is when they're making them for the smoothies. So, I never really throw bananas away anymore. You just stick them in your blender.
Or you could make some banana bread or something like that, too.
or banana bread, stuff like that. How about you, Bruce? Mm-hmm. Do you like to make them into shakes, or where are you at with the whole banana?
I've just come out of a phase of eating a lot of bananas, and I'm aware that eating too many bananas raises my blood sugar too high. So two a day isn't so good.
There's a balance, yeah. You don't want to be a banana freak.
It's hard to find anything better than a banana in a smoothie, though.
I don't like green
smoothies. I like bananas with collard greens, which sounds terrible, but tastes great.
And collard greens are so awesome for you.
That sounds interesting. Mm.
Yeah, if you Google green smoothies and recipes.
Green smoothie.
Green smoothie. That comes
now,
right
do you,
up.
Do you cook your collard greens or you put them in raw?
No, this was a breakthrough about 4 years ago when the health food people broke their vow not to mix fruits and vegetables. And they
And I didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
They didn't talk to me.
That vow has been broken, and a lot of people have had a lot of success with green smoothies, including myself.
And there is actually a guy called the Whole Food Trucker. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Okay. Whole Food Trucker was this guy. He had diabetes. He had diabetes, high blood pressure, and he had some kind of cancer. And he just started juicing like crazy, and within 6 months, everything went down, and he became cancer-free.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there's just this wonderful thing that, and, you know, it's just that radical decision. Am I going to be radical with my lifestyle and do something different, or, do you want to go do chemo? I mean, you got to make choices. It's about making choices that can change your life. So there you go. It's all good. Mm-hmm. So, Bruce, let's talk about the homeostasis thing. So kind of give me homeostasis kind of sounds like a big medical term. What is that? It's either that or it's something you do to your house to clean it, right? Is that like a...
Yeah.
It's like spring cleaning. I'm going to homeostasis my house.
Yeah. Well, most of our listeners will have heard about homeostasis. And if they know anything about it, they'll know that it's it's always applied to the physical body, and it has to do with our fluid levels and our temperature and other things that have to stay within a certain margin for us to be alive, our oxygen levels, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this just is the most primitive possible idea about homeostasis, that it's just about physical stuff. Is that crucial? Yeah. But that in the 18th century, that's when they were really interested in how much air does it take to keep a frog alive? And now in the 21st century, even a second grader pretty much knows the answer to that question. So we need to be moving people on to expanding this idea of balance so that we start looking at homeostasis not only physically but also imaginally, emotionally, mentally, and unconsciously. And if you do that, you're going to be more imbalanced spiritually as well. But we're going to leave the spiritual out of this. So I want to say, I've got three exercises here I thought we could do. We might not get to all three. But the first one is a subjective test that you and listeners can do. And it will help if you have a pencil and paper, but it involves doing five things, and you probably have five fingers on at least one of your hands. So if you don't have pencil and paper, you can just use your hand.
Hey, how about a napkin? Can I use a napkin?
A napkin.
We're
going to
use
napkins.
Well, I brought my little notebook, so I'm good. I can put it in my notebook. So there
you
go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay,
if you
good.
Write down the letters TACME, P as in Paul, ACME, you kind of have a shorthand for physical, imaginal, emotional, mental, unconscious. And if those letters don't line up, is probably a longer conversation. So you could write that down any way that you like, but the idea is that if you look at your finger and you start with your thumb, you say, well, my physical body is definitely part of me. The next finger is my imaginal body. Certainly got that. Emotions, got them. Mind, got it. Unconscious, habits, memories, habits, and behaviors, I probably have those too. And then you can do something called a Likert scale, L-I-K-E-R-T. You can Google this on Wikipedia. But it basically means making a guess and using a scale so that you get an impression. And there's no way to do this wrong, and there's no wrong answer because the answer only applies to you. and each person gets their own answer. And so what I'm proposing is that people try maybe on their thumb or the first, the physical, to say, how much am I in balance? If 10 is really good balance for me, really healthy for me, where do I rate tonight on my physical homeostasis on a scale of 1 to 10? And you don't have to tell me, but I'm going to invite you to guess and write down your number, and I'll do that too.
Okay. Are we guessing it for each other?
No, you're not. Only for yourself. Only for
yourself. I want to guess for everybody else. Okay. All right.
So I'm gonna kind of walk through this so people can see how I might do it. So
okay.
I'm testing here. So for me, physical scale 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I'm at a 5 out of 10. So I'm not at a 10. So you don't have to be at 10. And then I wouldn't get into discussing this. I'd just go right on to the next one. Just try to collect all your data. So the next one is your imagination. You know, how in balance are you about your fears and also your fairy tales? Do you have positive fairy tales leading you forward in your life, or do you have scary dreams kind of holding you back? So just guess. You know, you don't have to know. You just have to ask. Just ask on a scale of 10 how balanced am I in my life of imagination, scale of 10.
Okay.
And if I did it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And so write down whatever number you get over here.
Hey, Bruce, for people who haven't heard the show before, could you kind of tell them that, because one thing that Bruce does is body testing. So what are you body testing to figure out what this is, right?
Well, I am, but this is not a testing exercise. This is a guessing exercise.
Oh, so it's a guessing exercise. Okay.
Yeah, you're supposed
to guess. You can have a number pop in your head, and that's the number you're going to go with.
That's a very common way for people to experience it, absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So we've got two measures here. We're going to try to get all five here, and then we'll discuss it a little bit. So next one will be emotions. And, you know, everybody pretty much has a good sense of how balanced they are in their emotions. And so we don't want them too hot or too cold or too angry or too passive. Yeah? So there's some dimensions there. But however you look at them, just guess on a scale of 10 how balanced you are. And I'm going to do that, you know, myself as well. And whatever number you get, whatever number pops in your head, just write it down. And then we've got two more. The next one is your mind, which would be your beliefs. And we'd like to have healthy beliefs there. And we also like to have as few self-judgments as possible. So guessing on a scale of 10, what number pops up for you? Okay. And then we've got one more to do. And the last one is memories, habits, and behaviors. And this is the more difficult one to guess at, and you will have to guess at this one because you won't know about it because it's unconscious. So just guess as best you can and write down whatever number pops in.
Okay.
All right. So probably at least some of you have all five numbers or at least several numbers, and I just thought I would pause here and say this is a picture. What you're looking at is a picture, to the best of your guessing ability, of how balanced you are on all five levels. And I just thought I'd open it up for discussion at this point. Anybody learn anything from that exercise?
I was higher than I thought I was.
Good for you. Good
for
you.
I thought so, too. I'm like, wow, especially my unconscious. I got really high on that one. I'm like, ooh.
Good for you. Mine was high, too. Mine was high, too.
Which just surprised me because I thought it would be lower, but I was actually higher, so that's good. How about you, Kath? How was your unconscious?
Which one's my unconscious?
The last one, after the mental.
Oh, it was higher than I expected.
Well, what do you
know? Good. How about you, Jamie? Was yours higher too? Jamie, was yours higher?
No, I have to call back. Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay. Yeah, hello. Okay.
We can.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello. So, you can?
Go, Jamie.
We can hear you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm having a problem with my phone here.
I haven't. My reception goes in and out here, so I haven't heard the last about 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But
we were doing an exercise that Bruce was asking us to number stuff. So the last one was the our unconscious. So can you ask him that again, Bruce? Since he wasn't there for that.
Well, Jamie, we were the last part of that was to guess on a scale of 1 to 10 how balanced your unconscious is, which would be your memories, habits, and behaviors. This is the most difficult measure, but you still just guess anyway.
Mm-hmm. Between 1 and 10, and 10 would be,
very
really
healthy,
exceptional. Right, right.
Very balanced, and 1 would be, what are you talking about?
Mm.
You know, most of mine came in at 8.
Super. Super. Well, this is good. So this is something people can do. So, you know, our educational system didn't teach us any methods of taking care of ourselves, basically, and wanted us to go to doctors and pay them to do it. And something as simple as this gives people, even children, a sense of, you know, maybe middle schoolers, a sense of, you know, that they can evaluate themselves. They can know... they can make distinctions about how good they feel or how ill they feel and start making choices from there. So if there's not other discussion, we'll try and do one more little exercise.
Okay, yeah, let's go ahead.
Okay.
That was fine.
The idea of homeostasis and balance, of course, is a huge topic and go a lot of different directions. And I'd like to take it at least one more direction tonight. So over here... I'd like to look at homeostasis as three things. There's physical balance, yeah? Two is inner cooperation towards wellness. I'll say that again. Inner cooperation towards wellness. And third is momentum towards your goals, dreams, and passions. And so let me just ask you, if you guys feel that's a good ballpark definition of a holistic balance, to have physical balance, inner cooperation towards wellness, and momentum for your goals, dreams, and passions. Does that sound like a pretty good recipe?
I think so.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
So each of those three, of course, can be measured just like we did that first exercise. You can measure your physical homeostasis, balance of water, nutrients, and minimizing toxins on a scale of 10, you know, and we kind of already did that. And, of course, if you practice, you'll get better at it. The second one takes a little more discussion, and because there's so little talk about it, unless you're, you know, a healer or a coach or something. So the second one, inner cooperation towards wellness, it's like this. This has to be balanced in your desire for wellness, you have to have a desire for it in both your rational mind and in your inner child, in both your minds. Because if you don't, then you're going to be of two minds about wellness. So we want them working together. We want them working as a team. And the more they're working together, the more successful you'll be in every endeavor. And the typical situation that I have, most people have, is from the neck up, we want wellness, but from the neck down, the old comfort zones want to keep energy where it is, and we don't want to move any energy. And the burgers, the, you know, shakes and the fries take over, and it's very hard to move energy, more energy towards wellness. So if people get a piece of paper, or again, just use their hand, that's what they have, and draw a horizontal line, we'll see if people have inner cooperation towards wellness. And we won't, you know, this is just measuring for yourself. So above the horizontal line, you could put put your rational mind. Rational mind is above the line. The line is the neck, and below the line is the inner child.
That was funny. Okay,
it is funny. It below the line is your inner child or your habit body. And
habit
so
body, okay.
this is a little diagram so that you can keep clear in your mind that there are two measures here. And we want to see if the numbers are the same or different. Very simple.
Okay.
So I'm going to invite you, and I'll do it over here too, to measure on yourself, not on the diagram, but the diagram will help focus your attention, from the neck up. What's my willingness to be well, to be healthy, on a scale of 10? And you can just go ahead and do that inwardly for 10 seconds. And then we're going to do the same thing below the line, thinking about our habit body, our inner child, our subconscious, our unconscious. All of that's the same, really. What's the willingness towards wellness from the neck down?
I got a heavy fraction. Mine's like really heavy on top.
Yeah. My numbers are not the same.
I'm like a 10. My body's like, yeah, we're going to do that. Down below, my inner child and my habit body's like,
well, is anyone willing to share their numbers? Let's talk about their numbers. I'm willing. Robin, you willing to share your numbers? Or?
Sure. Well, of course, I had a 10 on my rational mind. My rational was like, well, yes, we want to have all those wonderful things. And my habit body was an 8.
So you had two pretty high numbers.
I had two pretty high numbers, but that certain level of commitment on my habit body was just like,
okay, now be careful here not to judge it. This is just observing. It serves you
nothing.
Okay,
I'm observing my 8.
It serves you nothing to judge it. You know, this is the glass is half full, not half empty.
Okay.
Yeah? Anyone else want to share the numbers? Otherwise, I'll share mine.
I'm still thinking about this.
Cat, what did you have?
7 and 6.
With 7 and 6.
Excellent. So those two are very close also. And that's usually a very good sign. What I had was 7 above and 4.5 below. And it's true that I am working on vitality at the moment. I just learned this week that I was a slave in a past life, and I kind of walking out of my old slave consciousness.
Wow. So you were like in Egypt or what?
No, Rome, like Greek, old Greek time.
Oh,
like
Greek,
BC in Greece.
Oh, my, okay.
And I had you know, I was young and capable, but I couldn't live my own life. I had to, you know, keep the store for the boss, the master.
I could say, yeah, that would suck.
And that kind of, you kind of have to squish all your creativity. So
you have your habit body lower. So is that just working like, how would you, and you're knowing you want to be able to do that. It's the next step to define, okay, if I'm wanting to lift that number, start, you know, lovingly putting yourself in a place like, I'm going to work out, I'm going to have more vegetables.
Well, here's the good news. The good news is that all these numbers can be raised. Even the lowest numbers can be raised. In fact, the lower the number is, the easier it is to raise it. But raising it is of course, a very individual affair because each person heals uniquely. And, you know, if this was a live event and people were in the room and were looking at each other, I'd say, who wants to come up and raise their lowest number? And we would find out, you know, where they're off and what happened, and usually with some forgiveness, we can move that number 2, 3, 4 slots. But we won't be able to do that on the radio. So if we have, hope Rob and I are talking about having an event in September, and hopefully you can come and experience that.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that we have the waiter, so we'll make him one of our guinea pigs. How about that? We're going to need the waiter.
Okay.
I have a good advertising jingle.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm connected, I'm awesome, super special and pure, fabulous, terrific, and so much more. I bring joy straight to your door.
All right.
When you're awesomely connected.
Beautiful.
Because it's all about all being in alignment. That's such an important thing. So there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that,
so could you do that, Bruce, where you have your middle line? Well, I guess it is. Your middle line's alignment, and like you're saying, one part's the.
No, the middle line is not alignment. No, that's just.
Okay, the middle line is not alignment. What is it?
It's just
a way of testing. It's what?
No, it's not that either. It's really simple. It's just the neck. We have one brain that's basically cerebral, and the other brain is our gut brain, our enteric brain. But the dividing line is kind of the neck.
So where's that brain that's like below the neck?
Well, it's
what's your heart then? Wouldn't it be your heart thinking? Your stomach?
No, not really. It's in front of the stomach. We have
you have
to,
a brain
have to
in front of
nerve
your stomach?
Tissue. If you're clairvoyant, just look at your body. Look at your body and ask all the nerve tissue to light up. You'll see that the big hunk of nerve tissue below the neck is not in the heart, but it's in the gut in front of the stomach. This is where we get butterflies in the stomach.
Right. So this is that part of that intuitive sensing of
like
things.
The pit of your stomach, perhaps.
The pit? No.
That's the same thing. The pit of the stomach is right. That's that nerve tissue.
The pit of the stomach. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't sound real positive. The pit of my stomach.
There's no.
Although
the pit,
it can be, I guess.
The pit is a metaphor. There's no real pit.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
It was a pit. Da-da-da-da.
You can call
the
that.
Pit. I know.
Right.
Is that a guy thing? I don't think women say the pit of my stomach. I think it's a guy thing. What do you think, Kathy?
I think you're right about that. It's
a guy. Yeah, now that I think about it.
More a guy.
You ever say, in the pit of my stomach, blah, blah, blah? No, you don't. You know, it's I think that's a guy thing.
No, that's a guy thing. I think you're right.
Oh, let's go down.
Well, actually, one thing, I've been thinking about doing a class, and it's going to be called Intuitive Business. And with the intuitive business, it's just like women's intuition, how women are always, it's always okay for a mother to say, I'm sensing this or I'm sensing that. But that's usually the only time when normally a person goes, we better listen to that, because it's a mother sensing something about the wellness of their child or something like that. But we all have it, and it's just a matter of coming from a different angle and being able to tune into just your knowings. Just like Bruce was talking about, it's your intuitiveness, and like in the gut or the front of your body, it's being able to tap into that and listen to it on a more a practice level where, you don't check in with it just when you're in trouble. You're checking in with it all the time. So you have this relationship, a conversation that you have happening all the time.
Yeah, what people need is exercises to get more familiar with it and practice.
And you have a lot of wonderful exercises.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does. One of the ones that I really appreciate was the expansion and contraction. We did that last radio show on just coming from a place of just a real easy way of sensing something. Does it feel like it's really good and it's expansive to me, or do I feel like I'm getting closed in and it doesn't feel like it's going to go anywhere? So that's really powerful.
You know what, we have a chat question.
Sure.
Okay. Kristen said that there was a 10 on top and a 6 below, and the question is, do both areas make choices, and what determines which choice is followed if they conflict?
That's a great question. Part of the answer is that the rational mind is supposed to be the captain of the ship, but we also want the captain of the ship to be aware of and communicative with the crew of the ship, who is the down below number, the inner child, the habit body, is also the crew of the ship if the rational mind is the captain of the ship. So you know, in those old ships where they had those tubes where they could the captain could talk to the crew and the crew could talk to the captain, we want a lot of communication between those two, and of course our educational system did not promote that. So it's only the healers, the coaches, and the people listening to them who are learning that they can communicate with their subconscious, their habit body, and that they can team up. So they need to team
Bruce,
up.
Bruce, we've got about a minute left. Can you give some phone numbers? So if any of our listeners are wanting to call you to get more information on this, because we're not gonna be live streaming here in probably another like 45 seconds, so that way people can know how to get a hold of you.
If anybody gets stuck, please give me a call and I'll try to help you. It's 310-280-1176. 280-1176. And the website is toolsthatheal.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also people that are interested, please let us know either by chat or by our phone contact numbers through the transformation-cafe.com. And I will be letting people know about the updating, our update classes and stuff that Bruce is kind of talking about having them at in Riverside, California at my shop, Flowers for You. We do have usually once or twice a month we'll have a weekend workshop where people can come in, and usually it's only about 3 or 4 hours and it's fun. We get together and just really do a lot of learning about one another and what that's all about. So we'll be keeping you guys updated on all the different events and things like that we have coming on. So thank you, Bruce, again for coming on. We'll probably would you like to come back next week and we can actually talk about this more, I think. We could probably do another few minutes on this. And since we've got people calling in for questions, that just shows it's something that people are really wanting to use
as
a tool.
Excellent.
Okay, cool. So we thank you all for coming, and we'll make sure to get our little doggy bags, and we'll see you guys again at the Transformation Cafe.
Wonderful.
All right, take care.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.